B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hour two of the program. The leading infectious disease expert in the country, Anthony Fauci, did say it was possible to get these leagues back up and running in empty stadiums. I want to get to the empty stadium thing here in a second, but first, just a few calls. You've been waiting patiently. Sean on the pike. Go ahead, Sean.
Sean. Hey, Felger, I got a spot down in Florida where they could go. They go to Disney. Right next to it is the ESPN Sports Complex. Look that up.
Okay,
it would work out for everyone.
Sure, a million places. And you know what also helps down in Florida? A little contribution here or there. Jimmy Stewart was just telling me. Is it any coincidence the WWE got off and running on Monday? Not just that Vince McMahon's wife is in the Trump administration, but what else happened down there, Stu?
So on April 9th, the governor of Florida amends the order to include professional sports and media production. On April 9th, Linda McMahon, the wife of Vince McMahon, former Trump cabinet member, announces that the president of the United States Super PAC will spend $18.5 million on the state of Florida. April 10th, Vince McMahon says, I'm going to tape every show live going forward.
So a little contribution here or there. That never hurt anybody.
$18.5 million, and you too can run sports.
Okay. That's also called America. Better or worse, that's the deal. Mario in Vermont. Go ahead, Mario. Mario! Okay, folks, we're taking calls. If you've been holding, I would just pay attention because this is your chance to talk. Don in Hanover. Hi, Don.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I wanted to just mention, is this going to make it harder for teams to start cheating as far as banging on trash barrels
yes.
and hiding guys up in the stands, filming sidelines?
You bet, Don. Absolutely it's going to. Absolutely, I think. It's going to be fewer places to hide. You're more conspicuous, Maz.
Oh, totally. And I'll tell you, also, even the guy on the mound, tell me people aren't going to be watching him a hell of a lot closer now because there are fewer distractions. Just the whole thing, it's like no cheating allowed, man. The game's going to be played clean.
Scott and Whitman. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to say, this is a free country. It's pretty easy if you want to go, you want to take the chance, you go, you play. It's up to them. We're losing our freedoms, our liberties. That's what's happening, and nobody's seeing this.
Okay. Sam the Eagle, they're calling in Whitman. That's not my point. I mean, yeah, there is free will, but if you're putting strain on the healthcare system, then you're affecting everybody. So that, to me, that's the key. That's why we're locked in our house, because we had to protect the healthcare system. So, again, I go back to this. As soon as we peek our heads out of the house and go back, because we've not developed immunities and there is no vaccine, there's going to be a spike or a resurgence. Hopefully not a spike. That's the wrong word. But, people are going to get infected and the numbers are going to start to creep back up. But if the healthcare system is ready for it and we're ready for it with testing and equipment and hospitals that have the room to not just treat COVID patients, but also back to treating everybody else who has other illnesses, and that's all kosher, then we should come back. Whether that period is hit in 2 months or 10 months, it's not going to matter, because as soon as we come back outside, Maz, we're susceptible. We can't sit in the house until the vaccine is ready in 2 years. That's just not feasible.
No, look, I suppose there are people who are clamoring for that. I'm certainly not one of them. But the timing is important. You have to be at a stage where you know that you can handle it and manage it. And so, look, to me, that sort of goes unsaid. And if people are interpreting it some other way, then I don't know what they're listening to.
Rick in Canton. Go ahead, Rick. What do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? I love sports, too, and I can't wait till they're back on TV. But without fans, I don't think the economic trickle down benefits the ushers and the restaurants and the
concessioners. So we shouldn't do it.
And well, I think it benefits billionaire owners. It benefits the $1 billion players. It benefits the networks. And it feels like a bit of bread and circus for us working schlubs who can't get back into society. I'd rather figure out a way to open up a barber shop or open up a cafe or another small business than putting all this government attention into sports.
Okay. I think they want to do all of it, Rick. I think if it were up to Trump, he'd open everything up tomorrow. So he wants it all open, not just sports. But, you know, I mean, I've heard this argument, too, that, well, this doesn't benefit the, again, all those multitudes and millions of ancillary people around the live sporting events, whether it's the bars and restaurants or the ushers or the cleaning crew. What, I mean, that's true. But it does benefit some. It does benefit some. People who work for the networks are going to be broadcasting the games. The people who would work maintenance for the stadium would still have to service the stadium. And it's a much smaller number, but those people would go back to work. Never mind the teams themselves and the players, yep, who are millionaires. But all the other people that work for the teams might get their jobs back. Again, smaller number. So the question is this. So just because you aren't going back to work, nobody else should? Well, I mean, that doesn't seem right.
No, and I can understand the frustration on a small business owner or someone that owns a restaurant or bar, but you have to think, or at least I'm trying to convince myself into thinking that if you dip your toe back into this like pro sports is going to, and it's going to look different and no fans and all of that, and it's going to be in isolated areas. But if there is no further breakout and they continue to do this and for a few months everyone tests okay, well, then that will lead to other businesses being able to get open.
And it's true. That is sort of, this is, you could treat it as like a baby step in closed buildings. The next thing you know, it's open buildings. And I think they have to do the first thing first. But just that whole principle, that whole, you know, ethical principle, just because you aren't coming back to your job, your neighbor shouldn't. Like, I mean, really, that's what you're saying. And I reject that. I mean, any business that can get their operation back up and running in any way, shape, or form, whether it's at half capacity, a third capacity, a tenth of capacity, should do it. And so that's what the sports are trying to do. And I don't think you should begrudge that.
I mean, to me, that's, you know, again, I don't understand the argument of not having them back. I just think that, so the number of people that are affected, again, relatively small, but what is this, an all or nothing proposition? We're not going to get that. It's not going to be like all of a sudden they open the gates and everything's game on again. So I think people are delusional when it comes to that sort of thing. The other thing, and again, this is a relatively small thing. I worry about people's behavior the longer this thing goes on. And the more diversions that they have and things that they can take solace in, even if it's just a few hours, or in the case of a baseball game, 6 hours. Even if it's just for a little bit of time to just get your mind off it, then I think there's a benefit for that. And I think that's part of the reason Trump wants to do it.
Meanwhile, empty stadiums. There was an interesting story written. I guess Kirk Cousins did a conference call or something. Kirk Cousins, the quarterback there of the Minnesota Vikings, says of empty buildings without fans would kind of be refreshing. His commentary is sort of points to, he's looking forward to it. He says, honestly, we practice every day in an empty grass arena and pump in fake crowd noise for away games. But more often than not, you're used to it. OTA practices don't have a lot of pomp and circumstance to them. So honestly, to go out and just play the games would kind of be refreshing, a breath of fresh air, he said, to just let us know that we don't have to have all the smoke and fire. We can just play football. Murray, you had a thought on that?
It's one of the most pathetic things I've ever heard in my entire life. And if I was a fan of the Vikings and I heard my franchise quarterback say that, I now know my team will never win anything as long as this guy is the quarterback. And now you know why Stephon Diggs wanted to get the hell out of here in the worst way for the last few years, right? Like all the subtle, not so subtle Instagram posts. Well, now he's out of there and he's going to go to Buffalo. And he's probably couldn't be happier. First player in ages that's happy to go to Buffalo and have Josh Allen overthrow him time and again. That's the softest thing I've ever heard. And I'm not surprised, because Kirk Cousins, I think, at his heart, is soft and gutless and a puke. And I know he's not alone. There's other players in other professional sports that probably look at this and say, ooh, less pressure. Not so bad. You know what? I'm for no fans in the stands. This will actually make my job easier.
So I'm not convinced that it is going to be less pressure. In some cases, it is. Maybe football, there will be. Certainly, like, you know, practically speaking, for football, no crowd noise. No issue with the snap count, silent counts, those things, which certainly ramp up the pressure on players. It's happened here with the Patriots in Denver. We've seen it over and over again. So there's that piece to it. But what about, you know, so what if they play basketball in these empty arenas or little gyms or even ballrooms or casino floor rooms, and it's quiet and you could hear a mouse poop, Maz. It's you know, you hear every door creaking, and there's a minute left in the game, and the guy's at the line, and it is complete and utter silence. All he has is cameras looking at him. And this guy, you know, NBA player, is sort of used to crowd noise, ambient noise. Maybe if he's on the road, people shouting at him, people waving behind the Now all he has is him and his head. And that's all he's got.
Sure.
I wonder if in some cases it's more pressure.
Oh, I think that it can have that effect. And look, there are all types of little parts of the games that I think will pop up along the way. You're going to be able to hear defensive call-outs and screens and whatnot in the NBA. We're in a really loud arena. Maybe you can't hear them. And as you said, signals in football. I mean, it's going to be different. Absolutely. But look, when people say, I don't want to play in empty arenas, nobody does. You don't have a choice. It's that or nothing.
Right. So now we're talking about that or nothing. But Maz, I think some sports like baseball, I mean,
won't be affected that much.
It really won't. And even for the viewing experience at home, it's going to be kind of different. But how many games, Red Sox fans, baseball fans, do you watch early in the season, late in the season, where the Red Sox are playing now in Baltimore and there's 5,000 people? You're in Cleveland and the stadium is a tenth full. I mean, how much really different is it going to be? And, you know, we're here with the Red Sox, you're obviously used to full, you know, generally full Fenway Park, or it feels that way on TV. And I know that's going to be different, but there's a ton of games for a ton of teams where you watch these games in the regular season and it feels like no one's in the building to begin with. It's not going to make that big of a deal.
Yeah, go ahead, Murray.
Well, White Sox, Baltimore, Marlins games. So, yeah, if there is one sport that won't be affected all that much, it's baseball. Some of those big market teams like the Red Sox, Yankees, that always have a packed barn, they may feel it a little bit, and maybe that adds more pressure or makes it easier for some guys. I don't know. But baseball, by and large, you ever tune into some of these games, you're like, where is anybody?
So there's that. Maz, and you know, I think in hockey, I honestly, watching on TV, yeah, I don't know. You're going to notice it, but to me, it's not. If they play the rock music during the breaks, you know, the arena rock when the whistle blows before they drop the puck, and they keep the camera tight on the ice, I honestly don't know that it's going to be that big of a difference when you're watching. I think basketball is going to be huge, and I think basketball is going to have the biggest impact on the floor, because crowds really influence referees. They really influence sort of momentums of the game and teams going on runs and all of that. So I think in basketball it's going to be striking and it's going to be really noticeable. I think in hockey and baseball, I think we're going to get used to it real quick.
Well, hockey is played at such a frantic pace that half the time the guys on the ice don't have time to really think or listen anyway. I mean, I think the level of concentration there is so high. Baseball, to me, is at the opposite end. It moves so slowly that, again, a lot of time, to me, the guy stepping in the batter's box, the hitter stepping into the batter's box, and then the pitcher on the mound is at the core of it, and those guys don't end up here in the crowd 90% of the time anyway, because they're so focused on what they're doing. I think football also would be affected, but basketball, to me, is number one, and the officiating is right at the top of the list.
Oh, and I think basketball, to the point where it might even be a little bit of a different sport. I mean, really, where it's going to, I've mentioned this before, you know, if the NBA comes back and they go to empty buildings in neutral sites in Vegas, and the Celtics, just take the Celtics, you know, if all things were equal and the world hadn't have ended and they would have finished the season, they're probably the 3 seed in the East, which means they're in Toronto for Game 7 of the second round, in Milwaukee for Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then in Los Angeles for Game 7 against the Lakers for the NBA Finals. Think of the difference of that versus those game sevens against those teams in an empty building in a neutral site in Las Vegas. It's like, it's
massive.
Night and day. It's night and day. It opens the door for the Celtics, like you read about. In hockey, does it really matter, Blues, Bruins, whether the home, road, empty, full? I mean, I think in some respects, you want to be on the road, you want the building empty. I mean, I think it's really, it's not going to make that big of a difference in some of those sports. Basketball, massive. Massive. All right, they've already started to play baseball in empty stadiums in parts of the world. It's already started. And so the question is, when it comes here, how will you feel about it? We'll pick it up with your calls. I also see some Brady Belichick action on the board from yesterday. We'll get to you as well right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
投手也是比较，哦，这球带起来在左外野方向的深远飞球，看看是界内还是界外。 小白球是一去不回头啊！郑凯文在这个时候敲了一发左外野方向的阳春全垒打，也是今年赛季敲出来的第一发红不让，各队所敲出来的第一发全垒打，帮助同时来先取得点1-0。
So what does a home run in an empty stadium sound like? That, well, in Taiwan anyway. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, they ran some video of it as well with mannequin robot fans in the stands and robot, like sort of a robot band banging on drums. No joke, they did this in China, but the Chinese Professional Baseball League is back. And that was a home run hit by KW Chang. He's an outfielder with the Uni Lions. He hit the first home run of the CPBL season in the first inning on Sunday. And that means by extension, Chang hit the world's first meaningful home run of the year, Maz. And I'm just reading from, I can't remember where I cut and pasted this from. It was, again, in an empty stadium in Taiwan. The game was between the China Trust Brothers and the Unipresident 7-Eleven Lions. which, again, just put that sponsor name right in there. Honestly, I have no problem with it. They should do that here. Give us fewer commercials.
Those 7-Eleven Lions, they work around the clock, those guys.
The W.B. Mason Red Sox, I'll take it.
Yeah, whatever. Do you know who the pitcher who served that up, Maz?
No idea.
Ariel Miranda. Remember him?
Nope.
He played parts of three seasons with the Seattle Mariners and Baltimore Orioles. Big league career, appeared 44 times, posted a 4.72 ERA. Anyway, he's a former major league pitcher. Anyway, the game was played without fans in the stands, as you heard there. There were, however, some strategically placed robot fans, including some that beat drums to add an aura of atmosphere to the game, as you saw in the simulcast. And so, this got me excited. Baseball's back. Someone hit a home run. I watched the clip. I'm like, ooh, all right. And then I read this, and then I was reminded about baseball. The Unipresident 7-Eleven Lions beat the China Trust Brothers 4-1 in an 11-inning game that lasted 4.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
It's still baseball.
I saw the same thing. It was, talk about absolutely classic. Nobody there, and it still took 4.5 hours.
Still baseball. Like, oh, all right, so get me hockey, and now we're talking. I mean, believe me, I'll take baseball, and I'll even take 4.5 hour baseball. But even
but that's in, that's annoying to read that and hear that. Like, now you have an opportunity to do some innovative things with the game, or at least speed it up. Get ball, throw ball, get ball, throw ball, get ball, throw ball. 4+ hours. F off.
4.5 hours for the Unilions and the China Trust Brothers. 4.5. That's basic. At least it's still baseball. All right, your calls, as promised. Tony in the truck. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, guys, what if we, for football and hockey, right, have less announcers and have all the players mic'd up? For example, in football, the players are in the huddle, the announcers talk. Then when they come to the line, they say, like, 3rd and 10, shotgun formation, so-and-so on the left.
Hey, Tony.
Someone on those.
Tony in the truck, how old are you?
54.
Okay, so do you remember way, way back in the day, NBC broadcast a football game without announcers?
Yep.
It sucked, didn't it? Remember?
It was awful. But if you mic'd up everyone and heard all the players,
understood.
You have the announcers.
Understood.
But once the play got going, you just go to the players.
Okay, so
hockey.
Tony, I agree that they should do all sorts of stuff. Mic them up, like play around with all sorts of production stuff. But the idea of the no announcers, they tried it. I think it was an NBC Jets game, wasn't it? And it sucked. It didn't work.
No, I didn't like it at all. I mean, you need that noise. I mean, I say noise. You need the analysis. You need the description. You need all of it. And look, the whole idea of miking up players, I like it, but you cannot censor it. It's got to be everything, which will never happen on network television. Maybe it'll happen on streams or on cable or whatever, but I want to hear everything. I want to hear the F-bombs. I want to hear the whole nine yards, the trash talking.
And I'm with, you know what, Maz? They'll never do it right. It'll never be done right. I mean, remember last year when Sam Darnold said on the sidelines, I'm seeing ghosts?
Yes.
And, you know, and how the Jets reacted and the league reacted, and it's like, you know, they can't. It was a relatively innocuous comment, like big deal. But they treated it like, oh, my God, we just ruined this kid. There's no way the players will go for full transparency or the leagues. It's going to, I mean, mic them up, let us hear it, but they're never going to allow it and they're never going to do it right.
No, no shot. And look, in that case, we're talking about something that, you know, is in terms of public consumption and, you know, being age proper and all that whole nine yards is that's mild. It's nothing. I mean, that's something you can you imagine if Kevin Garnett's out there talking about someone's hunting that Cheerios?
Oh, forget about it. It'll never happen right. Okay, some of you have been waiting patiently since we came on to follow up on Brady Belichick. Let's rifle through these. Aaron in Washington, go, please.
I actually know my call said this, but I have a thought about baseball.
Okay, go ahead.
I think this could be an opportunity for baseball to sort of resurrect its PR. I know it's been declining in attendance for, I don't know, the last 10 years, and they had a really bad offseason with the Astros story. I think by them being at the forefront of trying to get play back on the field and these antibody tests, I think people would start to appreciate baseball in a way they hadn't before. And I also think, remember they played a crowdless game a couple of years ago because there were protests outside Camden Yards in Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
And that was a really quick game, so...
Yeah, hopefully that's it, right? Hopefully when they come back, it's quick and it's a tighter, better product. If they come back and it's 11 innings, 4.5 hours in an empty stadium like the 7-Eleven Lions or whatever here, that's not a good look. They can't have that. They can't come back and have a 4.5 hour, 11-inning game, even though I'd watch every pitch at this juncture. It has to come back a better sport if they're going to take advantage of the window.
Yeah, you got to keep it moving. And you know what? The speed of that game, the pace at which it was played was fabulous. But if I remember right, too, and I think there was a story on this recently, Chris Sale pitched it. And Sale, it was White Sox Orioles, if I remember right. And correct, Sale, yeah. Yeah, Sale works fast anyway. So his games can be, you know, unusually quick.
Mike in the truck on Brady Belichick. Go.
Yeah, a little follow-up on the conversation from yesterday. You know, as bad as some of us felt that was from Bill, imagine how much worse it would have been if Brady had ended up going to Miami. We would have got a snort and a fart, and that would have been it.
Okay. Does the team that he went to impact how Bill treated him? Let's just grab Sully in Boston real quick on it. Go ahead, Sully.
All right. Steve, Sully, and I'm going to land this plane right now.
Oh, God.
Following up on Belichick, but... The bottom line, and I'm not even going to give a preface to this. Would Brady have? He wouldn't have been drafted. Can we agree he wouldn't have been drafted if Belichick didn't draft him?
Wrong. He would have gone.
He would have gone.
He would have gone.
Where?
I don't know, but someone would have picked him up. He would have gotten a sniff, Steve, and he snuck his way in by calling himself Sully this time. Someone would have picked him up, and if it wasn't in, you know, later in the sixth or in the seventh, he would have gotten a undrafted free agent tryout. And I'm not telling you he would have been. I think it's entirely possible if he was drafted by another team with a stupid coach or in a lousy place with a lousy program, he might never have been an NFL quarterback. I agree with you there, but he would have gotten his shot. He would have gotten he would have gone to a camp and, you know, would have at least impressed to get on the team. That I'm convinced of.
Yeah, I thought his call was still all over the place.
Of course, usually is. That guy, Tony in Kingston. What do you got, Tony, on the return of sports?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. What do you got?
All right. So a few years ago, I went to see a Battle for Atlantis down south there. And anyway, long story short, they could only sell. There was only a 2,500 room person ballroom, and no more than 1,300 people per school could go. Well, anyway, the finals were. Like 400 or 500 people.
What's this guy talking about?
I have no idea.
With the Battle for Atlantis? Is that what he said?
I have no idea what the hell he was talking about. No clue whatsoever. Zero.
Joe and Peabody on Kirk Cousins. Joe, please. What do you got?
Hey, guys. All right. Kirk Cousins. Oh, my God. I mean, the thought that I had when I heard that, I think it was Hardy that I heard from the first time, was just like, out of all the things that we've all said about Brady over the years, you know, you'd never get that out of a guy like that's mouth. But to hear that out of Kirk Cousins, I mean, Murray couldn't have stated any better. I mean, what a gutless turn. Right?
Would rather play in front. I mean, we've known guys like that. Nomar Garciaparra, to me,
yep,
was like,
he was one of them. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Would rather play in an empty stadium kind of guy. David Price would rather play in front of nobody, right? Like, there's guys totally. Who just... You know, but then there's others like Pedro Martinez who need it, you know, thrive off it. It's in their veins. They need the crowd there. But the guys that, you know, would rather play in front of nobody are typically losers Who did you put on your list there, Murray? When you heard Kirk Cousins, who'd you immediately think of?
Oh, I was like, if this was on an Instagram post or something, I bet there would be a quick like from Tuukka Rask.
Oh, yeah, it's not really. You think he's that guy?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, I do think there's a comparison to be drawn there. I don't think it's wrong to talk about guys who don't want to play in front of crowds and say that they're chokers, because I think those are the guys that just can't handle the pressure and they can't handle the noise and everything that goes with it, and they flip out. They'd much rather be in a bubble playing the game and no problem, I can handle it. And I think there's an absolute connection to be drawn there.
Jeff, go.
Any professional athlete who would prefer to play without fans are weak. And they because the fans are mean to me. I didn't want to get booed or the pressure's on. And that's what Kirk Cousins is by saying that.
Jeff Passan, ESPN, joins us right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
All right, welcome back to the program. Let's go to the guest line, the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Talk to someone who's done a lot of good reporting on Major League Baseball over the years, certainly on every topic, but most recently, Major League Baseball getting back on the field, and that's Jeff Passan of ESPN. Jeff, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Hi, Jeff.
It's great to be with you.
Great to hear from you. Okay, so the latest round of reporting, this latest bit of news that Major League Baseball and their players and the teams, or most of them anyway, are going to be part of this antibody testing study. I know you have reported and the league has made it clear and the folks at Stanford have made it clear that this is not about Major League Baseball getting back on the field. It's not intended to get them back on the field. It's not intended to prioritize them over anyone else who needs the tests. And it's not about that. Okay. I understand that's been the reporting. I know that's what they're saying. Tell me, it's got to be at least a little bit about it, doesn't it, Jeff?
Listen, I always, am naturally and inherently skeptical of things. And the idea that Major League Baseball is doing this just to be part of a social cause, that may be the underlying reason. I don't think there's any quid pro quo going on here, though. I think that, if anything, baseball recognizes that this is like a good look for the sport. If it's trying to help solve the COVID crisis, or at least get us one step closer to solving it or understanding it, and it can use the levers that it has in its business to do so, I don't see a real downside to that. Plus, beneficially for the people who are involved in the sport and who take the test, they now know whether they have COVID antibodies or not. And that's just a good thing to personally know. Like, I would love to have one of those tests. I don't think I have the antibodies, but if I did, I would very much like to know, because it would allow me to sleep a little better at night. So I think there's that benefit there to it. But I don't think that they are going to be collecting the data on the players, Mike, because I don't think that a lot of the teams are testing all of their players. So it would just be a really incomplete set of data to use as a reason to go back to play.
So, Jeff, since you brought that part of it up, there are apparently three teams that are not participating at all. And so, two-part question, why wouldn't those teams participate? And why wouldn't all the players participate?
I have absolutely no idea why a team wouldn't participate in this. Maybe they have ownership that has like particularly strong civil libertarian leanings, and that, you know, they feel like giving their blood out to anyone is a bad thing. Like, I don't get it. I just think it's a really important thing to do from a scientific perspective. But hey, well within their rights to go ahead and do that. What was the second part of the question? I'm sorry,
why wouldn't they use this as an opportunity to find out all players rather than just some of them?
I don't think the union would let that happen. And I completely understand that. You just with the history of testing of players with certain things, you know, the history of trying to get honest testimony to the league, whether it's drugs, back when they did the survey testing. And as we know, the results of the survey testing ended up coming out with players talking and being granted anonymity with the or being granted immunity with the Astros. They weren't really immune to a whole lot of things. So going and giving blood to the clubs, that may turn around if a year down the road we find out that people who have had COVID have some sort of long-term issues medically. Like the ability of teams to weaponize that, what we don't know is too strong for the union to agree to have all players tested. And that I totally, completely get right now before they have some kind of agreement back to play in place.
Jeff Passan, ESPN, you've done some reporting about the all of Major League Baseball packing up and heading to Arizona. Subsequent reporting saying, well, no, Florida teams go to Florida, Arizona goes to Arizona. If you had to bet, which plan, what do you think it's going to look like?
Oh, Arizona. The Florida thing just turns into too much of, I mean, listen, Arizona's a logistical nightmare as is. Now let's take Arizona and do it like three other ways. That's the problem with the Arizona and Florida plan. It's that you have so many logistical things you have to deal with to begin with. You have to get security. You have to get a perimeter. You have to get hotels. You have to get procedures and protocols in place. You need to get governments, local governments working in concert with you. If you have it in one place or one metropolitan area, at the very least, you know the people involved are going to be working well together. If you have it in Phoenix for one, you know, quote unquote league of teams, and then sort of like Northwest Florida, and then like Southwest Florida, and then the East Coast of Florida, you're just dealing with so many municipalities at that point that the red tape is going to go up somewhere. And all you need is one of those areas to scuttle this because of an outbreak or for some other reason, and everything falls apart.
Well, so Jeff,
at very least, here's the thing. If you put all your eggs in one basket here, it gives you a greater chance of success.
Okay, so I would agree. My angle and my thought was why Florida, Arizona made more sense is because the players are more likely to go for it. Because if you can tell every player he can go live in his off-season home or his rented home, and every team gets to go to their off-season base, that, you know, that actually is more feasible than having half the league pack up and move across the country. That was my thought.
Yeah. No, it is. But, Mike, the problem is it goes against everything that this plan embodies. Like, you can't live at your house if this plan's going to work. The whole reason that Anthony Fauci came out today and said that this is a workable plan for Major League Baseball is because he is under the impression that players are going to agree to stay in hotels and go from hotel to ballpark, ballpark to hotel. They're not going to go out drinking. They're not going to go out partying. They're not going to go out doing anything. They can't even go out to grab a hamburger around the corner. That is not part of this plan and how it's going to work. And so as nice as it would be, I totally agree with you. Like, in an ideal world, in a non-COVID world, you send guys to their houses and we do it that way. But the problem is the number of people you run into who could be infected and then pass along the infection to you. And because these are strong athletes, the infection could very easily be asymptomatic. And then you pass it along to a 70-year-old first base coach who has a history with heart problems and he dies. Like, I hate to be so blunt.
Yeah, no,
like
no, I get it.
That is just when you are doing something like this, the reason you can is because of the integrity of the bubble. If the integrity of the bubble is punctured, the whole thing falls apart. And that's why this plan has been so pie in the sky from the start, because the notion of having 1,200, 20, and 30-something-year-olds who, by and large, are in the top 1% of earners and who have lives that are unlike what any of us can even possibly fathom, and keeping them inside for months at a time is so fanciful and so absurd. But it is also the only way to do it.
Jeff, just quickly, the let's say that they could go ahead with this plan, the union signs off on it. Do you think there's any threat of players still saying, I'm not going? I mean, you know, and big name players, Jeff. Big name players.
Yeah, 100%. Mike Trout's going to have a kid this summer. He's not going to want to miss that. And so you're going to need dispensations in place to allow people to leave the bubble. Now, the players are going to have to agree when they come back in. They're probably going to be quarantined for 2 weeks. They're not going to be able to play for 2 weeks while they're tested. Or maybe they come back inside and they're tested, and in that quarantine period is a week. You know, all of these things are up to discussion, but it's not a bilateral discussion. You've also got the science element here, and none of these things can be agreed upon if the scientists don't rubber stamp it. That's the part of this that's such a game changer. You know, typically the union and MLB can come to an agreement on things when it makes sense and is pragmatic for both sides. In this case, they might find something that seems pragmatic, but the health officials say, nope, that can't happen. Integrity of the bubble is compromised. And so there is certainly a chance that we could have baseball this year. And big names just say, nope, don't want to do it. Not worth the money for me. I've made my cash. I'll wait until the 2021 season.
Jeff Passan, ESPN, what rule changes can we expect for this, you know, and all the things that we've heard? I'll take all of them, frankly, but seven-inning doubleheaders, no mound visits, electronic strike zone without the umpire standing over them. Can we get a home run derby in extra innings, et cetera? Yep. Tell me what the game will look like.
I hope, and when you say what the game will look like, I'm not just talking about the mechanics of the games themselves. What I hope is that the game looks completely different than anything we've seen on television before with sports. I feel like that is the opportunity that baseball has here. Baseball has a chance to completely reimagine the impression that it gives to a generation of fans that looks at it like it is just this boring, stodgy, slow game. And I think a lot of that is in the presentation on TV. How do you make this a more appealing TV product? I want every player mic'd. I'm talking every single player. I don't know if you have an inning where you talk with third baseman. I don't know if you have, you know, a recurring segment with a guy during every game. But I think players need to understand that this season is already going to have a massive asterisk behind it anyway. And if you're going to have that asterisk, throw out everything that you've known about this sport in the past. And let's turn this into a giant season of testing, and let's test out what works in baseball in 2020. Maybe it is no extra inning games, and like Justin Turner suggested, you do a home run derby to finish it. Maybe you play with California rules where you start with a guy on second base in extra innings, and you do that. Maybe you have cameras. Say, if you're going to have empty ballparks, set up cameras in places where you never could have imagined. Have players wearing cameras. So you have first-person perspectives or virtual reality stuff. Like, there are so many different things that the sport can do, and I just hope that the people in charge are going to be as creative as possible in their selling of the game if it does come back.
So, Jeff, I worry less about the people in charge than I do about the players, because I think the players are the ones who are most set in their ways, most unwilling to compromise, most unwilling to adhere to pace of play rules or even engage and talk about them. And so you tell me, do you think the players would ever buy into this stuff?
I think the players want to get paid. And I think when it comes down to it, if they're going to have to bite their tongues and deal with things that they might not want to deal with because it gets them paid, and they will happily do so.
Jeff, well, thank you so much for taking the time. We know you're busy. I think, hard to know, right? We're all working, but then again, can't leave the house. But we do appreciate the time either way. Thanks again.
I am busier than I would be if the season were actually going on right now. So, yes, I am one of the few, but I'm trying, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Okay, Jeff, thank you again. We do appreciate it. Take care. Jeff Passan, ESPN, joins us here on Felger and Maz. We're going to get a basketball perspective coming up with Chris Mannix next hour. Quick little slot for your phones if you want to weigh in at 617-779-0985 right after this.
Felger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So, Jeff, I worry less about the people in charge than I do about the players, because I think the players are the ones who are most set in their ways, most unwilling to compromise, most unwilling to adhere to pace of play rules or even engage and talk about them. And so you tell me, do you think the players would ever buy into this stuff?
I think the players want to get paid. And I think when it comes down to it, if they're going to have to bite their tongues and deal with things that they might not want to deal with because it gets them paid, then they will happily do so.
So Jeff Passan, ESPN, on with us just now. Maz, that's really the bottom line. Do you want to get paid or not? It's all well and good to say, I'm not going away from my family. I'm not talking to my family through a fence for 4.5 months. I'm not leaving my home. I'm not going to some biosphere in Arizona. I'm not going to be in some gerbil cage. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Okay, well, there's your $20 million down the drain. Oh, wait a minute. Let me talk to the wife about it. It's like, you know, no one wants to be doing this stuff, but, you know, do you want to do whatever you can to earn or not? And so that's what it's coming down to. I'm sure, you know, I think you'd rather be here in studio, and Murray would rather be here in studio than with the lovely Jazz there at his palatial suburban estate. But, you know, we got to do what we got to do, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Now,
and so those guys, you know, they'll have that decision to make, and they'll probably err on the side of, you know, continuing to work, and you do what you got to do. The guys I'm interested to see, though, are guys that have actually had real serious health issues in the past, like John Lester or Carlos Carrasco. Now, those guys sat out. If any of them sat out, I'm not going to damn them. But you got to understand if someone like that did, right?
Because they're more susceptible?
I would think.
But what? They still can't go get medical attention if something happens? Well, but so still, right, still. I mean, yeah, Murray, I mean, it's fair. That's obviously, and that's their choice, and I would get it totally.
Lester's a good one.
Yeah,
I had not even considered that, right? You
me
know,
either.
Given the history there, that's a good point, Murray. It's if I'm John Lester, I probably don't show up.
The other thing that stood out there is how, you know, adamant he was that it's all in Arizona and forget the Florida thing because it's just too much. But I again, as I said to him, I approach it from the player angle. You know, they're going to have a lot of players fighting this thing about going to Arizona for 4.5 months. It's a lot easier to tell them you can stay in your off-season home in Fort Myers or Clearwater or wherever the hell you train in, West Palm Beach, whatever the case may be. If they have full buy-in from everyone, yeah, then sure, Arizona makes more sense. I agree. I just thought, my feeling is if I'm a player, I'd fight to stay as close to my off-season home as I could.
Oh, for sure. Look, again, this ties into sort of what my general stance of players is. And I admit I'm frustrated by the whole pace of play thing because I think players have been unresponsive to that particular concern. But the ultimate point is that baseball players, particularly relative to the other guys in sports, the other athletes, have a reputation, rightly deserved, of being very selfish. And so I just wonder whether when it comes to a lot of these things, whether ultimately they're going to give in, which is why this is a good time, because their pay depends on it, for the league to try to jam some of this stuff down their throat.
Murray, do you have a thought there?
Yeah, I guess I'm not that surprised that it would ultimately just be Arizona, because if I'm these guys and they are going to do this and, you know, I'm going to continue to earn that paycheck, I just want it to be as convenient as possible. And that is the lesser of two evils, because I get it. Even though a lot of them have homes in Florida, the travel aspect of it would be a giant pain in the ass.
Okay, so the off-season home, you know, versus the hotel, that's just another thing. What if... You know, I know the players are going to push for it. Don't make us stay in the hotel. Let us quarantine at home. We'll promise, and it's on our honor, that we're not going to go out. We're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to interact with people. But instead of me going from the hotel to the stadium, let me just go from my home to the stadium. Like we're doing here, you know, a few of us come in here and then go straight home and do the same thing for baseball. I know the players are going to fight for that. And I wonder if they're going to get it. You know, to ask them, I mean, I would do it. I think they should do it in most cases. Go quarantine yourself in Scottsdale for 4.5 months. It ain't so bad. but I can see them not. And, you know, some of these half measures coming through, I can just see it.
Okay, but then again, if see, the problem with introducing that, though, Mike, and again, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Do the wives get to, or the girlfriends, do they get to go shopping for groceries? Because the players can't,
right?
So then if they go to the grocery store, are they exposing themselves to the virus? And now you're compromising the bubble.
Okay, so, but now this is back to the whole, the bigger picture thing, which is we can all sit inside for 18 months. And then when you come out, you're going to have the same condition because there's no immunity built up and there's no vaccine. So eventually someone has to leave the house. And the, in, until the vaccine comes, the risk is going to be, you know, the same on the infection level. Now, the hospitals have got to be in a better shape than they are right now, which is the whole reason we locked ourselves in the house in the first place. But that whole risk of infection thing is there because we haven't solved anything or cured anything. We're just holding our heads underwater, as I keep liking to use that analogy. So as soon as we come out, it's going to happen anyway.
Okay, but again, that's a bigger picture problem. In the interim, you can avoid some of that by minimizing the bubble. So, you know, if you just keep the players just to the players, they're all in the same bubble. And this isn't about some, you know, then someone's wife goes out. That's going to happen later on. But do you want it to happen now?
Okay, so that was the baseball perspective with Jeff Passan. We've got a quick update from Murray, 90 seconds, no commercials. And Maz, if that was a real question you want me to answer, I want it to happen now. I want it to happen as soon as the healthcare system is ready. And so the healthcare system might be ready in 2 months. All I'm telling you is that's the key. That's why we quarantined in the first place, to protect the healthcare system. When the healthcare system has the materials they need, the PPE it needs, the room it needs, the breathing room it requires, then it really doesn't matter whether we come out in 2 months or 9 months. You see what I'm saying?
Sure. No, I get that part of it. I just think that you can still minimize the exposure of the people involved.
Okay. So anyway, that's the baseball part with Passan. The basketball part with Chris Mannix comes your way in 90 seconds right after Murray's update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.